Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Chatting the Sharing. Today we're going to talk with playwright and author Bill Goodwin. Bill actually wrote the last Sherry's Playhouse, Sherlock Holmes and Terror by Night Train, which we all really had fun time doing. He's also written several plays. He runs the theater. He is a very busy guy, and he's a teacher. Welcome, Bill.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for talking to me. I'm glad you guys liked Terror by Night Train. That meant a lot.
Did you enjoy the performance?
I did. I sat on the couch with my daughter, and we just giggled throughout the whole thing. It was great. It just was such a trip to hear my words coming through my stereo speakers. That was the first time in my entire career that I didn't actually direct or produce something that I had written. So all I had to do was sit and listen. Wow, what a luxury. I could get used to that.
So did we do a good job? What was your grade, Teach?
I thought you guys did a wonderful job. I love the quality of acting. You had actors who were actually British.
Yeah. A lot.
That blew my mind. Yeah, that blew my mind how Everett worked with so many time zones and with so
don't
many people.
Talk about me. Woo-hoo, time zones. They're the death of me.
I think it was the death of Everett, too. He was kind of pulling
yeah.
his hair out, but he finally pulled it all together. But no, it was very authentic. Their Sherlock Holmes was one of the best Holmes I've ever heard. I thought he just really knocked it out of the park, and Watson was amazing. I mean, the whole cast was amazing, but those two really stood out.
Oh, yeah.
Both
our actors are both professional actors. Charlie and Time are the actors who play those characters, and they're wonderful. Everybody in the show was wonderful, though. I mean, I'm very proud of the cast, and it was a very elegant cast. And we were talking about, there were several British people in the cast. Some people were parts of my regular Sherry's Playhouse. Junior, who was playing Moriarty, who's British, he's so great. He could play the sweetest, kindest guy, then can play this icky, gruesome, terrible person that makes you want to take a bath. I mean, he's so good.
You know, it reminded me of the Moriarty on the Sherlock series, on the TV series, because it's that way. He seems very demure and nerdish and sweet, and then he turns it around and he's just creepy as all get out. And that was kind of your Moriarty completely.
Yeah, he was really good.
Oh, yeah.
And Charlie and Time acted so well together as Sherlock and Watson. I mean, they had really good chemistry, even though they were totally different areas of the world that they are in. And our Sherlock was in New York, and our Watson was in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and you would have thought they were in the same room. I mean, that's the magic of Blog Talk Radio and the whole internet thing, is that you can bring together so many people from such different backgrounds. It's wonderful, really.
Yeah. I'm glad you liked it. We were all kind of like, oh, I didn't really like the show. And
well, I don't know. I loved it. I thought it was good. My daughter enjoyed it, and my son, who played Toby, really enjoyed it. He thought it was a lot of fun. He could deliver his lines, and then he ran downstairs and listened to himself on our hi-fi, and then ran back upstairs to where his phone was and delivered the next line. It was kind of funny.
I didn't know he was doing that. I would have been nervous. I'm glad I didn't know.
Well, apparently that was like a 3 or 4 minute time delay, because he had plenty of time. It was never an issue. But, yeah. Well, we have done so much theater in my family. I think he added it up. He's done 18 shows now. He's 17 years old and has done 16, 17, 18, something like that. He's in a show right now, in fact.
He's done two shows at Sherry's Playhouse. He did two shows for
Curious
Tryout.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah, and he did two shows. He just finished up Annie with Neo Deschet High School, and then he's doing Sweeney Todd for the local community college. And I'm impressed with my little kid. He's like, you know, he's auditioning for community colleges, and he's not even out of high school yet, and they're casting him. So
I think it's great. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, he's been doing it since he was, you know, 4 years old. So yeah.
You're going to be doing another one for us called Five Story House later in the season. Are you looking forward to hearing another one?
I am. I get the dual privilege of hearing it twice. I sent it to you guys, and I also sent it to a company out of San Francisco called Shoestring Radio Theater, who apparently work with about 100 or so public radio stations. They have their Friday night broadcast, rebroadcast by all these different public radio stations. And they do a show every 2 weeks, so they do 26 shows a year, and they chose Five Story House. And I asked them, I said, is it okay if Sherry does it as well? And they said, the Internet is plenty big enough for both of us. So,
yay! I love
yay.
That. That's great.
Yeah.
What did you think of my performance? I shouldn't ask that.
I thought it was great. You were Carstairs, right? Lady Carstairs? Yeah, no, I loved it. Ev told me that there was some discussion between you two to whether or not she should be British or American. If I had been me, I'd have gone with you, Sherry. I would have voted your way. I'd have been, like, completely British. Lady Carstairs is the most British name I could possibly think of. I've read a lot of Agatha Christie's, and Lady Carstairs is a common trope in an Agatha Christie novel. I don't know what Ev was thinking. But I think you managed to sneak in just enough British that the audience got that impression that you were British. I'm so glad he didn't write some ridiculous backstory about you being from America. So,
well, he tried.
I gave Everett carte blanche. Everett and I have been friends for a long time, and I told him, you know, do what you want. You know, I was thrilled to have somebody else do the work for once, because I'm usually a one-man show, costuming, directing, producing, publicity, the whole nine yards, and I'm usually exhausted by the time a show goes up and just happy for it to be over. This time, I was so happy to just be sitting and listening. It was wonderful.
Yeah, we had a good time. It's weird. I'm a playwright too. I've had a few of my plays on the show, and it's weird to hear it come to life. It really is. It's like, and it's same with I had one of my books being part of what do you call it? Not books on. Well, I guess it's books on tape, but there's a different name for it now. Where they read
audiobook
for you. Audiobook. Thank you. I blanked out on it for some unknown reason.
I do this all the time. You and I are both from the 80s, and I remember I remember books on tape. You know, they would tell you to slap the cassette smartly against the palm of your hand if the reels became stuck. I remember those days. So, yeah, I'm still calling it books on tape myself.
Yeah, I used to play I had a tape deck in my car, and I used to play them on my way to work. So I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So when my book became an audio, I was really excited, and then I realized, oh, I can't really play it in my car, can I? So I put it on my phone.
Yeah. Been there, done that, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like disappointing that you can't do that, you know? I mean, I know it's great, blah, blah, blah. You can play it anywhere, but there's some things that I really enjoy, like riding my bike and listening to a book on tape, or driving to work and back and listening to it. You can't do that with an audiobook.
Earphones on your phone, I guess the best I can say. That's why I have a Bluetooth headset, because I just wear that thing all the time. Yeah. I always got a book on. I always do. So, are you listening to anything good right now?
Well, I'm not actually listening, but I'm reading. I just finished The Monogram Murders, which is an Agatha Christie book that was okayed by the Agatha Christie estate and the Perot. It was very good.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very different. you can tell was written by Agatha, but mm-hmm. she did a really good job. Really, really good job. I recommend it. It was really, really well written. That was the last one I just read. I've been too busy doing other stuff that I haven't read as much as I want. I'm actually about to read a Miss Fisher book because I finally got a paperback Miss Fisher book. I'm so excited.
Miss Fisher, I don't know that series. Is it Mystery?
Phryne Fisher, Miss Phryne Fisher. Miss Fisher Murder Mysteries is a TV series that was on PBS, and before that, of course, it was a series of novels by Carrie Greenwood, and they're
okay.
really, really good. And if you're a murder mystery fan and you like a really
yes.
strong female character, that's the book.
Oh, you nailed me. That's me completely. All my plays have strong female characters. It was so much fun writing Irene Adler. I think that was the final selling point. Did Ev tell you how I got into writing Murder by Night Train? Or
no.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was
one of our guys wanted a Sherlock really badly.
Exactly. And poor Ev had seen this movie when he was a kid, and it stuck with him, Murder by Night Train, and had always wanted to write an adaptation. And he said that this one guy really wanted to play Sherlock, and then somebody else came forward and said they really wanted to play Irene Adler. And he goes, Irene Adler's not in Murder by Night Train. And then someone else wanted to play Moriarty. He goes, Moriarty wasn't in Murder by Night Train. So he's trying to mash all these things together. And, of course, he's got the original in his head. Well, I had never seen the original. I didn't know anything about it. And this must have gone on for 3 years. And he'd call and complain and call and complain and call and complain. And I'm a good friend, and I don't mind listening to him vent. I do it all the time myself. But you get to a saturation point. And I reached my saturation point this last summer. And I said, Ev, I'm tired of you complaining about not being able to write this. I'll write it. Do you mind if I just do it? And he was so happy to give it to me. He was like, please, write this thing. Because I didn't have all the preconceptions because I hadn't seen the original. So I just took notes. I said, okay, it's got to be on a train. It's got to have Moriarty. It's got to have Adler. It's got to have Sherlock. Oh, and by the way, it's got to have Auguste Dupin, the Murders of the Rue Morgue detective. And so I just took lots of notes and then, just went from there. And it was fun. It was like doing a crossword puzzle, you know, trying to figure out how to get all these dispergent characters all in the same place at the same time. So I'm glad Ev never got it written, because had he got it written, that would have been one less very enjoyable experience for me. It was probably the best thing I did this summer.
That's
so
cool, though. It's sort of like crossover stories in fan fiction, where they cross over, like, whatever, Xena and Harry Potter or something. taking all the different elements and putting them together. That's so much fun.
It is, yeah, and it was my first taste of that, and I really want to write more Sherlock Holmes now. I've never written Sherlock before, but it's not hard. He's very cocky, he's very arrogant, but he can back it up. That's the key about Sherlock, is that he's inherently incredibly competent. So, in the end of the day, it was all about making Sherlock be able to solve the mystery. I didn't want to make Watson a cartoon. Ev and I both agreed on that too many people make Watson a comic character, and I just didn't want to go there. In fact, I don't think the play had a whole lot
elegant.
Of comedy in it. Yeah.
He was very elegant. I liked the way he wrote Watson.
Well, he was, in the armed services. He is a doctor, after all, and I think that deserves some respect. And if you read the original, I've read quite a bit of Conan Doyle, and he's not written as a buffoon at all in Conan
Doyle.
No, he isn't. So,
well, that was because they wanted to hire Nigel Bruce, who played him in the Basil Rathbone. So they rewrote Watson for him. And then afterwards, everybody was doing what they did with Nigel Bruce. But if you look at earlier movies, like from the early 30s, before the Basil Rathbone movies, he was never like that. And then if you looked at, like, the one I grew up with, which was the Jeremy Brett series with...
Oh, I love the Jeremy Brett series, yes.
Yeah, and Watson was very... He was equal. He was a doctor, and he was highly intelligent. And it's the silliness was because... And I love Nigel Bruce, so please don't get me wrong, but... that is where the silly Dr. Watson, the bumbling, the one who doesn't know, oh, we're making a mistake, blah, blah, blah. That's where he came from. But you know, and then now we have Sherlock, the TV series from BBC, where he's, again, an equal and highly intelligent and beats up
and
Sherlock every
complex.
Once in a while.
Yeah.
What?
I was going to say he's incredible. He's a very complex character. He's not he's very three-dimensional. And what I love about the BBC, and I'm sure most people love this, is the fact that Holmes kind of heals Watson and Watson kind of heals Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
They're just good for each other. They fill in the gaps with each other's personalities.
And what I loved is Mary healed both of them.
Yeah.
The woman coming in and saving the day.
Yeah.
Even though she was dead.
No, I'm thinking of writing more, you know, Sherlock, but doing it maybe from the perspective of the Irene Adler Agency. I did that very intentionally so that I could come up with my own series of mystery, and then she would team up with Watson and Holmes. Because I love strong female leads. Yeah, I love the role of Irene Adler. She's so amazing. And I don't know if there is of course you have Miss Marple. And you have Kinsey, there is a lot of strong female detectives, but, you know, from that time era, I don't know if there are very many from the Victorian time era. It was such a male-dominated.
There's actually a series of books, I don't know if there's three or four of them, about Irene Adler as a detective.
Oh, shoot, I thought I had an original idea. Okay, all right,
take
a breath, Bill.
It has little guest appearances by Sherlock, and it's like, good night, Irene, good day, Irene, good morning, Irene. I think that's what the names of the books are. I'm a mystery nut. I've read as many as I possibly can stick into my little head, so I've read practically every mystery series there is. And yet I like science fiction, too, so I'm a mess.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm currently working on a series of novels by a guy named Craig Johnson. There's a TNT series called now I'm blanking out. Longmire is the name of the series. And the detective is Walter Longmire. And it's a Western, but it's contemporary Western. So it's contemporary modern-day Montana. And Walt Longmire is kind of a throwback to the old cowboys. And so he doesn't carry a cell phone, and he doesn't really believe in technology, but he's very good at, you know, interviewing people. And there's a lot of Indian culture and Native American history mixed in and life on the reservation. And I love mysteries, but I also love books that teach me something. So for me, it's like I know nothing about Montana. So, yeah.
That's interesting because one of my guests, T.J. Scott, he actually directed some of those. He directed the episodes of Longmire.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, big fan.
Yeah,
I love
really
that series.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came on it was about to launch, and he came on the show. We talked about it. He was very excited about that one. But yeah, it's so weird you brought it up. I was like, I think that's one TJ did.
small world,
yeah.
So what are some of your other favorite mysteries?
Oh, my God. You let's talk about you, dear, because I'll go on and on.
Okay. All right. I'm always looking for book recommendations. That's me. I'm a maven. I'm always collecting. The first question I ask all my nieces and nephews, my kids at school, I'll meet a fourth grader, and then my first question will be, so have you read anything good? What are you reading? I'll read anything, you know, and I'm just like always looking for authors I've never discovered. So we'll talk later. Anyways, what you got for me?
Definitely. Because we're at 10 minutes, I want you to have time to talk about shows or anything that you're doing. You were talking a little bit about Shoestring Radio Theater doing Five Story House. Do you know when that's going to be on?
They said sometime in May. And Shoestring's very odd in that they have, you can stream and download the episodes, but only during the 2 weeks they play it. Because they do consecutive Friday nights. I think the first Friday night might be live, actually, and then they do a rebroadcast the following Friday night, and then it's a new show the week after that, and you can only stream it during those 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, but as part of the contract, even though I don't really get paid, I get a free MP3 download, so I will have a permanent copy that I can then put on my website or whatever I want to do with it. So,
oh, cool.
You know, for me, that's Christmas presents taken care of for all my family. I'll just burn CDs and put them in nice cases, and that'll be what I give for Christmas. Hey, the gift that keeps on giving.
But do you have any other things that are coming up that you want people to know about that are in Kansas or that are radio or anything that you want, and this is your time to promote it?
Not really. My big time of creativity is the summer because I do teach English, and our plan is to start a little recording company that we're going to call Drama Allowed, the Drama Allowed Recording Company, so DARC, and we're going to call all of the podcasts the Darkcast, DARCAST, and the Darkcast is going to be pre-recorded, so it won't be like Cherry's, it won't be live, but it'll be pre-recorded audio broadcast, and it's going to be kind of an homage to old-time radio theater, music, sound effects, and original scripts. I used to run a community theater when I lived in Hill City, and unfortunately, changing jobs and some economic circumstances, you know, I had to move on from that. But I miss it. I loved that. That was one of the best things in my life. And I'm in a place now where I can't really start a community theater. There is strong community theater here. The people who run it aren't really interested. And that's fine. They have their domain. I'm not going to step on people's toes. I mean, I could audition to act, but that would be about the extent of it. They're not looking for shows. So I have all these scripts, and I want to produce them. So why not? Why not turn them into radio plays?
That's how I feel, too. That's why I started Cherry's Playhouse. So authors, playwrights, because I have authors that transform their books into plays. Like, we had one play that was from a series of books called The Ouija Night, from a very popular author for I forgot the name of the you know, this is not a great day for memory.
You were both blanking out. I think it's something in the
ionosphere.
Yeah,
just blanking out. But she writes a series of books with the two female characters that is, I've been bugging her since I started Cherry's Playhouse. Can't you transform it into a play? Come on, please, transform it. And she did.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
The Ouija Night is a published book then?
Yeah, it's a published book.
Okay, I'll look that up.
Yeah, she has a series of, it's one of her short stories, but she has like 6 books with those characters, and she's got a coloring book with them and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's really good.
What's
so
your
I'm
name?
Excited. The name of the play was The Witchy Night.
The name of the author.
Her name's Mary Brooks.
Mary Brooks, I'll look her up. I've not listened. I've listened to a couple of your Cherry's podcasts. Obviously, I listened to Terrible Night Train, and I listened to one that you did right before that. The name is escaping me.
Was that the Witchy Night? Yeah.
Okay, so I did hear that one. Okay, yeah, because Ev played like a New Yorker, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that was the one I heard. Yep, yep.
Wait.
Cool.
Did he play a New Yorker? No, he was trying to play Australian.
Well, then maybe I'm thinking of a different play, because The Ouija Night doesn't sound familiar, but I'm blanking out on the name of the play I did listen to.
The Ouija Night was based in Australia. This play was, she's Australian, and the play
okay.
is Australian, so everybody was either doing English or Australian accents.
Okay, yeah, but it couldn't have been that one. No, it's one that where Ev played a guy from New York.
Oh, no, that was
he did
mine.
A really...
That was
okay,
my play.
That was your show.
That was my play. That's
okay.
Cat's Pajamas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was it. Yeah. So, anyway.
Okay. That way,
I'm always.
That.
Yeah. How did you and Ev get to meet? I mean, it's fascinating to me. You're in California. He's in Kansas. I'm in Kansas. You know people all over, Sherry. It's really cool.
I know. It's through different people that came on to Sherry's Playhouse. Everybody, it all started in a little radio station. Sorry. I was thinking of Ted Baxter from Mary Tyler Moore Show.
If I had a sound effect for the dream sequence or the memory sequence, you know, I would play that right now. Anyway, yeah, but that's what Evan and I really want to do is we want to, I have some recording equipment. I also play the guitar and write music. I have a Reverb Nation site, and my ultimate dream is to someday retire from teaching English and then to join a cover band. I know. It's kind of pathetic, but that's my dream. I love classic rock, and I would love to front a band, you know, just on Saturday nights, just very on an amateur level. But so I do a lot of recording. I have some equipment, and I would like to go ahead and record some plays. I just have so much material. I probably have a dozen plays and 30 or 40 short stories that could be converted. So, and Ev has a bunch of plays and short stories. So, wealth of material. We just got to get it produced. That's basically what it comes down to.
Well, the next one that Sherry's Playhouse is going to be doing is one of Everett's.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. His Suicide Club is fantastic. I helped him with one of the themes on that, and I really enjoyed it. He's on to something there. Ev is so good at finding material from. I mean, in that case, it's Robert Louis Stevenson. He's so good at adapting, at finding really obscure little short stories or whatever, and then adapting them into plays. That's just his passion. So I'm going to actually, you know, you asked what I'm doing next. I'm doing The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. I'm doing a rewrite of that. I'm going to call it either The Ghost of Sleepy Hollow, or I'm playing with the title of I Am Ichabod, because it takes the premise that part of that story is actually true because Washington Irving himself lived it. Did some biography research on Irving, and he actually, his house is in Tarrytown. His grave is in the Sleepy Hollow Cemetery. He spent his, between 17 and 21, he spent his summers there. So I imagine that perhaps the whole thing with Katrina Von Tassel and Brahm and the schoolmaster, I'm just taking it a step into that direction that when he was a young man, maybe he was the schoolmaster and maybe he was the one who got chased down that lonely country road in the middle of the night. And
it wouldn't be at all.
No, it wouldn't. And so that's kind of where I'm going with that. That's going to be my I'm hoping that'll be our kind of our inaugural play for the Darkcast, the Ghost of Sleepy Hollow. I love mysteries and I love ghost stories. I love dark, obviously. Have you read Five Story House?
Yes, I did. Actually, I really loved it. At first, I didn't know if I was going to like it because I'm not really a horror person, not really ghost story person. But I really, as I got reading it, I really fell in love with it. I thought, because it's not scary, it's sort of sweet, and I really liked it a lot. I can't wait till we do it.
I found it to be very dark. I was like, there's no way Sherry's ever going to do this. And I sent it off to the other one. I was like, I don't know what I'm wasting my time for. No one will ever want to produce this. It's so dark. I mean, it deals with incest, and it deals with miscarriages, and it deals with, you know.
Yeah, there's some ugly parts to it that I didn't.
Ugly
parts,
yeah.
Yeah.
But the heart writes what the heart writes. I mean, story just came out of nowhere, and I had to write it. Once I got the idea, have you ever had that happen as a playwright where your characters demand that you write them and they give you no peace until you write them? Well, that was Five Story House, and afterwards I'm looking at this thing going, oh, I don't know if I really want my children to listen to this. I don't know if I want my, you know, I don't know who's going to want this, but
it's very
Ev read
good.
It and thought it was good. Yeah.
It's got a, the end, because at the end of it, I'm not going to give it away, of course, but it sort of redeemed it.
Yeah. The ending is, it's a gothic romance in the end is what it came out to be. It's not so much a horror tale as a gothic romance.
Yep.
So.
Sadly, we're at the end, Bill. Thank you so much for being on this show. I hope you enjoyed it.
I sure did, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, and thank you for chatting with Sherry.
All right. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you.